Well, hello and welcome. This is Ken D. Foster. Welcome to the Voices of Courage show. I have a question for you. What if there was a way to actually transform the quality of life on Earth? And what if that power was available to you right now? Well, today I'm dedicating the entire show to supporting you, my dedicated audience, to find the peace in the chaos of the world. You know, there's a lot going now. Oh, my goodness. Medically, politically, stock markets, the work, the having the kids at home, and so much more, right? Well, there's a lot of challenges in today's world, maybe more than ever. But with challenges comes opportunity. That is, if you're receptive to make the changes necessary to embrace what you're being called to do differently. And I want to say, my guest today has studied the masters of the universe and will be sharing with you what to live and how to find the exact scientific principles to transform all areas of your life for the better. Now, that's a big claim, but we're going to deliver on that today. And you can't believe who I have on my guest show today. Anyway, listen, I got to take a quick break, and I'm going to introduce my guest as soon as we get back.
Hi, Ken D. Foster here. If you have a dream to create a wellness product, I'd like to tell you about JBK Wellness Labs. They are a respected contract and white label manufacturer who helps entrepreneurs and companies develop and bring to market dietary supplements, hemp-based CBD products, plus personal care and beauty product lines. JBK Wellness products can be found on the shelves of Neiman Marcus, Whole Foods, Urban Outfitters, CVS, Ritz-Carlton Hotels, Four Seasons Hotels, and multinational direct selling companies. JBK Wellness Labs will walk you through each step from concept through finished product. If you'd like to take your next step in getting your product to market, then start your project today by going to jbkwellnesslabs.com or just Google JBK Wellness Labs.
Well, listen, I want to tell you that for most of us, we've kind of had enough. Have you had enough? You know, are you tired with all the stressors that are going on, the disease, the lack, the limitations, maybe in your life or even around you and your family? Well, I think enough is enough. And if you think the same thing, I encourage you to listen to this entire show and pass it on to the people you love. We're going to be answering some of the questions today, like, who are we really? You know, who are we at the core of our being, at the core of our soul? What are we destined for? Are we destined for destruction? Are we destined for freedom and self-realization? And how do we thrive in a world that's dominated by fear and happiness and suffering? What is our natural state of being? And, you know, you're going to be able to thrive no matter what when you understand the principles that we're going to be talking about today. You know, as a society, we really have a need for soul healing, and it's time. And so today is the day that you can start on that journey for yourself. I'm calling the show The Courage to Awaken Your Spiritual Power, and my guest today is Brother Tyagananda. Now, Brother Tyagananda, whose name means bliss through inner renunciation, has been a monk of the Self-Realization Fellowship monastic community since 1987. Born in Italy, Brother Tyagananda began practicing yoga in his early teens and became a student of the SRF lessons by the time he was 17. Brother Tyagananda has served for several years as the co-supervisor of Self-Realization Fellowship Center Department, which oversees the operations of the self-realization meditation centers and groups around the world. And he's currently residing in Hidden Valley Ashram in the San Diego area, where he's involved in conducting programs for guests and residents. He also serves as one of the ministers at the temple in San Diego, California, and has lectured on the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda in major cities in North America and Europe. Brother Tyagananda, thank you for being here. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Ken. It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you for having me.
My goodness. You know, you and I, we've worked on getting you on the show for quite a while now. So it's such a pleasure that we finally were able to do that.
Yes, it has been a long journey, as you say. Sometimes it does take time, right, to make things happen. But I thought it is a very auspicious time. As you may know, just last week, our society celebrated the 100th anniversary of the foundation of Self-Realization Fellowship. Our guru founder, Paramahansa Yogananda, came to the West, to America, in 1920, September 19th. And so this past weekend, we had a live-streamed event followed by thousands of our members and friends all over the world honoring our guru, Paramahansa Yogananda, and the millions of followers now we have all over the world.
That's really wonderful. Yeah, that's 100 years. And as a result of that 100 years, how many centers does the Self-Realization Fellowship now have around the world?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, Ken. When our founder passed away in 1952, we had just barely 57 meditation centers, mostly in U.S., North America, and some in Europe. And now we have actually over 600 meditation centers all over the world, in all the major centers, in all the major cities in North America, U.S., and South America, Europe, all the way to the Far East. And of course, in U.S. also we have some major temples, like here also in Southern California, and some of our monastic communities, ashrams, as we call them, where I now reside, for example, this one near San Diego, the Hidden Valley Ashram, which is also a retreat open to guests and participants.
That's great. That's great. Well, listen, you know, this is such an auspicious time to have you on the show because the impact of the pandemic right now, and from a minister and a spiritual counselor point of view, what words can you give us to help us kind of understand what's going on? And maybe there's some people listening right now that might be really worried and stressed out. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yes, as ministers and spiritual counselors, we have seen a wide spectrum of responses or reactions. So on one side, we have seen men and women giving in to fear, anxiety, and worries. And obviously, it's very understandable. And we feel for them. And responding in a negative way emotionally. And definitely, that doesn't help. On the other side of the spectrum, though, we have seen quite a few men and women of all generations responding by becoming more centered within, maybe reawakening their spiritual faculties, rediscovering some of their spiritual practices. And as a result, even though, yes, we are going through a crisis outwardly, this crisis has become as offered, as provided an opportunity for inner growth. So actually, we have seen many, particularly in younger generations, you know, they had to stay home, they couldn't go to school, colleges, they were single, the family. They have become sincerely, truly interested in a spiritual path. Many of them have contacted us and they have asked to become students of our Self-Realization Fellowship lessons. As you may know, our master was very practical and he would say, well, talk is cheap. Everybody can talk about spirituality. We are here to practice, to really incorporate in our daily life some practical methods that can help us to harmonize body, mind, and soul. And so even though these are very ancient methods, the yoga science is thousands of years old, still now more than ever is very current, is very much needed now more than ever by men and women who want to reconnect with their higher selves. So in answer to your question, Ken, we have seen men and women responding in different ways, but I have to say, for those who had the courage, as you often like to say, you know, find the courage to really change yourself, for those who had the courage to restart their own spiritual practices or rediscover or initiate now, it has been a wonderful, beautiful journey.
I love that. Well, listen, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about, is this a crisis or is this an opportunity for us to really take our lives to a new level? So we'll be right back. We'll be talking about that when we get back.
Okay.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
I'm a diabetic. I need to maintain healthy glucose levels so I can live normally and still enjoy my day-to-day life. Kirlin is a 100% natural supplement that helps me do exactly that. Kirlin promotes healthy glucose levels, energy, sleep, and proper body function. I try to make the right choices, but Kirlin keeps me controlled even if I indulge in a naughty treat here and there. It's how I plan to stick around for my family.
Get $20 off Kirlin. Visit KiraLife.com and use coupon code COURAGE.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm speaking with Brother Tyagananda. Today, our show is called The Courage to Awaken Your Spiritual Powers, and that's exactly what we're talking about. By the way, I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in today. If you'd like to get our replays, you can get them at voicesofcourage.us, voicesofcourage.us. I'd like to welcome our new TV station that we just signed up with. It's called Las Vegas Television. So we'll be broadcasting out of Las Vegas here, and I'm excited about it. Brother Tyagananda, crisis or opportunity? There's so many people disoriented, confused, wondering what's going on. And we started to touch on that, but you know, a lot of people don't see it as an opportunity. They're still in a place where they're wondering, what do I do next? What's the opportunity in this?
Well, certainly we have to be realistic. It is a crisis, but as for most things in life, it is neither either or one or the other. It is both. It is a crisis and an opportunity. But crises do teach us, for example, to slow down, to take a good look at our lives, to implement some new changes, whatever we need. So that's when, after the initial period of slowing down and taking assessment of our lives and what we can do, instead of giving in to fear and negative emotions and anxiety, then as men and women who are trying to become emotionally, spiritually mature and balanced, we'll ask ourselves, well, wait a minute. Okay, I cannot change the world right now. I can still change myself. I can change my life. And I can help my loved ones to the best of my abilities. And as when we would have a crisis on a medical sense, so the body is trying to tell us something, and so this is the time to possibly fast, cleanse, detox. So it is an opportunity to really introspect and see how we can improve ourselves bodily, physically, mentally, emotionally.
Well, when we talk about improving ourselves, and I'm a business strategist and a life coach. So a lot of times I recommend people learn to how to meditate. And the first thing every one of them tells me is that I just can't stop my mind. And they're just, you know, and so I, from my experience, meditation is really the path that leads us to being able to make good choices and have peace in our life and good choices of everything, isn't it? So what's your thought about that? You know, I mean, because I think the real pandemic might be mental hyperactivity.
Yes, you are totally right. That's what even psychologists, medical doctors, psychiatrists are finding out, that the real pandemic is like so many people, as you can said, can't just turn off their minds. They become so anxious or so mentally hyperactive. Our sense is that they already were pretty restless. They were going too fast. Also, they were living too much in their minds. And as the masters have explained, our nervous systems, our brains are very strong when we are children, when we are young. But eventually, due to the constant pressure and stress, there's a sort of inflammation. That's when nervousness becomes chronic. Our own guru founder, Paramahansa Yogananda, already in the 30s, he said, nervousness is the actual disease of our civilization. Can you imagine? He said these words in the 30s. And you can find in one book that I highly recommend to many of our students and members. It's called Inner Peace. And I don't know if you have it also, if you would like to show it. How to be calmly active and actively calm. It's a collection of very simple, practical words of our guru founder, Paramahansa Yogananda, on how to be calmer in our lives. Who doesn't want to be calmer these days? How to, instead of being controlled by the mind, how to gradually learn to control it, control our minds, right?
Yeah.
Because
let me go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and put up the place to get that book, so people know as they're watching the show. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I want to make sure that that was going up on our screen. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, certainly. Thank you, Ken. That's the website of our spiritual society. And we have a bookstore where many of our titles are also available as ebooks, and also we have audiobooks. And for those who would like to explore more, we also have many beginner's meditations or guided meditations available free on our website, again, yogananda-srf.org. We have received so many beautiful testimonials of so many men and women who felt so restless and now more than ever worried and anxious. But the moment they start these simple practical methods based on the science of yoga, meditation, then they feel calmer in body and mind. The emotions.
Well, it takes courage and discipline, you know, to be able to reawaken that spiritual consciousness in us. Any tips on how to do that?
Well, the idea is to be very balanced. We are beginning by reminding ourselves that, first of all, we are souls, we are divine beings. So in a way, we don't have to worry too much of this particular life here on earth that we are living. We are souls and we are in a body and we want to take good care of it. And we utilize the mind to interact with the world. So it's a question also of reminding or rediscovering our true nature, who we truly are, where do we come from. Some of the great masters from the past would say, the moment we remember, the moment we realize who we truly are and where we come from, we automatically become calmer and happier and more serene and more hopeful about our future. Where do we come from?
I got to take a break, but that's a really good question. It's not only who do we come from, who are we? And I'd like you to address that when we get back from the break, because I think a lot of people have a lot of different thoughts of what that means to them. And I'd like to hear it from your point of view. So we're going to take a break. And we'll be right back.
Are you out to make a difference? Do you need results? Wasabi Publicity is the perfect PR team to help you take your message to the next level. Recognized by PR Week and Good Morning America for innovative practices, Wasabi works with authors, speakers, and organizations committed to doing good in the world. Wasabi believes conversations change the world. Stories you share shape how you think, feel, act, and how you experience life. Ask yourself if your website, social media, and PR coverage reflect the stories you wish to share in the world. Are you making the difference you want to make? Do you have the results you wish to have? Kendi Foster, Voices of Courage radio show host, says Wasabi is the best in the business, period. Schedule a complimentary PR consultation with Wasabi CEO Drew Gerber at publicityresults.com.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I want to tell you a little bit about one of the sponsors that's really close to my heart. So if you're a woman entrepreneur, I'd like you to pay close attention. There is an organization called Women's Wisdom, which has been assisting women business owners to not only grow their businesses, but to grow their lives too. They've been doing it since 1991. This month, their program is focused on women shifting their businesses and taking their lives to a completely new level. If you'd like to find out more about Women's Wisdom, their online events and offline events, you can visit them at womenswisdom.net. That's womenswisdom.net. Also, I'd like to thank all of you for tuning into the show, and I appreciate you letting your friends and family and associates know about the show. That's how we grow. As I mentioned earlier segments, all the replays are available at voicesofcourage.us, voicesofcourage.us. All righty, let me get back to my amazing guest, Brother Tyagananda. He's been a monk in the Self-Realization Fellowship path, the monastic community, since 1987. He was born in Italy. And we're talking about the soul. We're talking about spirit. We're talking about who are we? Brother, who are we? Who are we?
That's a very good question. Well, ultimately, inwardly, deep in our hearts, we already know who we truly are. And that's the beauty of it all. And so, as we were saying, Ken, these days, unfortunately, most of us, most men and women live too much, as they say, from the neck up, in the mind, in the brain, and spinning constantly these thoughts, also feeling victims that we cannot stop or control our thoughts. But if we learn to gradually, slowly move more from the head to the heart, as they say, the heart knows. Deep in our hearts, there is that spark of the divine being or the higher source, the cosmic consciousness from which you and I and all of us have come. You know, as they say, even scientists, as they explain, nothing cannot come from something. You know, there must be an origin, a reason, a root. Something has to come from something. And so in my own experience, now over 35 years meditating with the practice of Kriya Yoga teachings taught by Yogananda, I've seen that gradually over the years, as we refine our consciousness, as we learn to calm the mind and quiet our consciousness and go within deep in our hearts, then we begin to feel, to experience. It's not emotion, it's not self-suggestions. It is perceiving our true inner reality. It's realization, realizing. That's why our master very aptly named his society Self-Realization. Also fellowship. We are a fellowship of men and women who want to remember who we truly are. Does it make sense? And meditation, the practices of Kriya Yoga meditation primarily help us to remember, to realize who we are.
That's really good. And, you know, you and I talked before the show. We talked about one of the books that has helped you and millions, I believe, at this point, or tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people to really go in the heart. It's called Enter the Quiet Heart. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. That's one of my favorite books. It is a collection of very inspiring words of our late president, Sri Dayamataji, who was the successor of Paramahansa Yogananda as the head of a spiritual society. She herself is an American Western woman, entered the ashram. She became a nun when she was barely 17 years old, and she dedicated her whole life to the practice of meditation and sharing the message of yoga, of communion with God, with thousands, millions of men and women over the world. And it is so simple, so practical, but at the same time so profound. As the title says, enter the quiet heart. Through the scientific methods of meditation, we learn to quiet the mind and calm the heart. How can we get into a reality if everything is always being stirred and restless? But if we learn to calm and if we learn to center ourselves, then we begin to experience this new reality, which is much more pleasant to live in than in our restless minds. And so it becomes very pleasant, becomes very attractive. So that's what, in a way, meditation, at least in our tradition, is. It is entering into the stillness of our souls. And as all the great masters from all the great religions and spiritual traditions in the world have taught, the soul, the spark of the divine, is really deep, deep inside us, in our hearts. So when we say enter the quiet heart, there's the initial step of the disciplining ourselves. That's where, Ken, as you said, we have to have the courage, the determination to awaken our spiritual powers, to every day, a little bit, to discipline ourselves in body, mind, and soul to meditate. And then we learn, as a personal experience, we learn to enter into this calmed, quieted heart. And then beautiful things begin to happen. And even though, yes, we can't deny it, all around us, as you said in the beginning, there's confusion, chaos, and uncertainty. But when we learn to become more established deep in the heart, we can observe, quietly evaluate, and implement some positive measures, and we don't become so overwhelmed or so anxious. As somebody so beautifully put it in a mystical sense, within this chaos, build a temple of love. Aren't these words beautiful? Meaning that's what we experience, chaos, uncertainty, or like even all the great Buddhist masters and our own master Yogananda used to say, learn to become comfortable even in the face of chaos and uncertainty.
I love that. And so I'll ask you kind of a loaded question, but I think it's appropriate here. So can people, you know, a lot of people are upset. They get upset, they get triggered, they get, you know, some people come in, they say something, they push their buttons, some political person comes on TV, and all of a sudden now they're off on that. Can we really control our minds to the point where that stuff doesn't bother anybody?
Yes. And at the same time, honestly, it does take time to learn, but it is not impossible. When you were speaking, I was reminded of, for example, Gandhi, the great Mahatma Gandhi. He said as a young man, he was very inclined to anger, and he would have these terrible outbursts of anger and wrath, righteous wrath, because he saw the total injustice and discrimination of the empire overseeing his country in India. And he was trying to attain political freedom. But he said in his own words, I've learned to contain my anger and my frustration and to utilize that energy to help others. And so that's the idea. That's transmutation. That's one of the very basic principles of the science of yoga. We're not talking about repression. We have to acknowledge, okay, there's something here in this world that's creating anxiety, anger, frustration. We acknowledge it, we calmly evaluate it, but then instead of allowing this energy to take a destructive turn toward ourselves, toward our own health, toward our loved ones, wife, children, friends, or coworkers, we transmute that energy. How? By disciplining ourselves. That's when Gandhiji started with his regular sadhana, the spiritual practices or meditation. In the 30s, 1936, our own guru founder, Yogananda, Swami Yogananda, he was known then, he traveled to India, and he visited Mahatma Gandhi in one of his ashrams, and Gandhiji asked Yogananda to be taught the methods of meditation or Kriya. In this book, Autobiography of Yogi, there's a chapter on that. And so who more than Gandhi or exactly, thank you. Who more than Gandhi had to withstand terrible injustices, frustration, millions of people dying because of violence or even just sheer famine. But he remained calm. He changed himself and he became Mahatma, a great soul. So to answer your question, is it possible to calm our mind, to transmute that anger and wrath and frustration? Yes, at the same time, it does take time, but it becomes possible and feasible if we have the methods, right? And that's why, you know, you showed the book, Autobiography of a Yogi, as a high school student when I was still in Europe, when I found this book. Oh, okay, so there is a way. There is a method. It's not just nice words. We're not here just to talk about spirituality. We are here to practice. That's why, again, Yogananda would often tell his audiences when he came in the 20s in the West, says, I've not come here to give you philosophy. It's not what you read. It's not what you hear. It's not even what inspires you momentarily. It's going to change your life and in turn is going to help you change your community, family, and the world. It is what we do with what we read, with the books we read, with what we do, with what we hear, with what we decide to live in our life. That's going to change first ourselves, and then, of course, with our own vibrations, we change our loved ones, our family, our communities, and eventually the whole world. You're going to have to say, change yourself first, and you will have done your part to change the world.
That really makes a lot of sense. Change ourselves first, and then you know, then our families will change because we'll be showing up differently, and they'll react differently. And once that happens, the community, they'll go out in the world and do the same thing. So I love that. I think that's dead on. Yeah. Well, listen, I got to take a quick break. When I come back, I'd really like to talk to you while we have you about how do we cultivate a deep personal relationship with the divine. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Hi, Ken D. Foster here. If you have a dream to create a wellness product, I'd like to tell you about JBK Wellness Labs. They are a respected contract and white label manufacturer who helps entrepreneurs and companies develop and bring to market dietary supplements, hemp-based CBD products, plus personal care and beauty product lines. JBK Wellness products can be found on the shelves of Neiman Marcus, Whole Foods, Urban Outfitters, CVS, Ritz-Carlton Hotels, Four Season Hotels, and multinational direct selling companies. JBK Wellness Labs will walk you through each step from concept through finished product. If you'd like to take your next step in getting your product to market, then start your project today by going to jbkwellnesslabs.com or just Google JBK Wellness Labs.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Today, we're talking about the courage to awaken your spiritual powers. And I have as my guest, Brother Tyagananda. He's a minister at the Self-Realization Fellowship Temple in San Diego, California. He's lectured on the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda in major cities in North America and Europe, and has been in the monastic community since 1987. Brother, how do we cultivate a relationship with the divine, a personal relationship?
Well, that's when the ancient yoga science of meditation comes very helpful, because it teaches us something to do every day as we become disciplined, even just 15, 20 minutes. We utilize these methods, as we were saying earlier, to calm the mind, to quiet the emotions, and gradually we feel this awakening, our hearts open, and we begin to realize who we truly are. At the same time, there's that beautiful element, that very powerful component of the personal relationship that we create with the divine. Sometimes journalists ask us, are you, meaning Self-Realization Fellowship and other New Age spirituality, offering a method? Well, actually, not entirely. It's not correct. Yes, we have very practical methods, which also are not new in the sense that they are based on these ancient teachings of thousands of years ago, developed in the golden ages of India, the Raja Yoga, the Royal Yoga. But as our guru founder, Paramahansa Yogananda, would say, the formula is Kriya Yoga plus devotion. Kriya Yoga, Kriya is the actual meditation method that we teach. But when the master said devotion, he was referring to bhakti, which in Sanskrit means the creating this personal relationship with the divine in whatever way, shape, or form our hearts feel more comfortable. And I've seen in my own life, when I started initially, especially we as men tend to concentrate more on the actual methods, the scientific part of yoga. But then invariably, inevitably, I've seen in my own life, in the lives of hundreds, thousands of other students of these teachings, there is that awakening of our deeper faculties. We're not talking about emotion or self-suggestions. We're talking of the deepest feelings in our hearts, which the yoga masters, the rishis, would call agma, intuition, the directly perceiving faculty of the soul. And that's what, to me, makes this yoga teaching so attractive and so practical, because so long as we have a body and a mind and a heart and the soul, we just have to sit quietly every day a little bit and practice, and we see in our own lives, in ourselves, that they do work. There's this awakening, and so this mysterious remote being that people call God becomes very personal and very dear, very near to us, again, using the words of the master. And as we were saying earlier, one of our major, the foremost woman disciple, successor Paramahansa Yogananda, Sri Dayamata, and earlier we showed this book, Enter the Quiet Heart. She was the one who so beautifully explored the beauty of creating this personal loving relationship with the divine. And she would often guide us younger monastics. She passed away in 2010 or so. And I had the privilege opportunity of meeting her when I entered the ashram in 87, so over 30 years ago. And often she would guide us in meditations. It was so beautiful. First guiding us into the correct, attentive, diligent practice of the methods. We call them the pranayama methods, which means directing the life force, the prana, inwardly, controlling and directing. And then she would tell us, open your heart, offer whatever is in your heart to the divine, and ask the divine to reveal himself, herself, itself to you in a personal way. That's when it becomes very personal. We follow the same teachings, the same methods, but we are all very different. And that's the beauty of the yoga path, that whoever we are, whatever is our background, we can approach the divine in whatever, with whatever is in our hearts, offering whatever is there. As Lord Krishna, one of our masters, would say to the devotees, whatever is in your heart, even if there's grief, pain, anger, offer it to me. Isn't it beautiful? Not just the good things, but all of us, even with our flaws, we offer ourselves to the divine. This is creating this personal loving relationship with God.
I love that. Well, I want to say that some people tell us that the eyes are the windows to the soul. Jim, I'd like you to put the picture of Yogananda up there and the close-up. And I've looked into the eyes of Yogananda, and I think a lot of people have, and felt that deep connection to the soul. And, of course, the yogis tell us the soul is basically Sat Chit Ananda. Can you talk a little bit about what that means and what, how, I'm sure you've had other people tell you about those eyes.
Yes, they're quite remarkable, aren't they? And that's possibly one of the reasons why so many of us were drawn to this path, because I don't know you can, but many just watching the book, the autobiography, the cover of the autobiography of a yogi, the book that describes the life of our guru founder since he was a boy in India. Those eyes are so piercing. And they say that as we refine our own inner consciousness, and sometimes it does take lifetimes. This is not something that we ask anybody to believe blindly, but we do. One of our principles is that this is not just one life. We have been living many, many lives. And I've seen many, many women telling me, especially now, as you kind of were saying, during these challenging times where people are facing with medical, sanitary crisis and family financial crisis, knowing that after all, this is just one segment of our eternal existence. We have lived many, many, many times, many lives. So coming back to the point I was trying to explain, it takes lifetimes for great men and women meditating, loving God, realizing their divine natures, divine beings, so that their souls become so pure that through the heart, the divine light, Jyotish as it's called, comes up through the eyes, and then even physically, the light flows through the eyes. So that's why many men and women in the United States were changed in the 30s, 40s, just by when they met the master Yogananda. Yogananda looked at them with their gaze. And of course, through the eyes, that steady stream of divine light, transforming divine energy, would go into the brains and minds of these men and women who were never the same. They were never the same again. They were changed by that light.
They were changed by the light. I like that. That might be a new movie title. I love that. And listen, I got to take a quick break. When I come back, I want to talk about love. I want to talk about Lao Tzu, the philosopher, said loving someone deeply gives you courage. Let's talk about that when we get back. What does that even mean?
Thank you.
Well, I'm back again. All right, that was a quick little break. Okay, I wanted to give a shout out to a couple of my amazing stations that are out there right now. And these people help us to get the word out around the world. One is called UK Health Radio. And Johan there, I want to give you a shout out. The other one is BBS Radio, and that's Doug and Douglas and Don. They're twin brothers that run that station. They're all over the world. Also, Talk Radio in New York City. I'd like to thank all you guys for hosting Voices of Courage and making us the success that we are. All three of those networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve your problems, uplift your spirit, and become the best version of yourself. You can tune in at ukhealthradio.com, talkradio.nyc, or bbsradio.com. And also, I want to encourage you, if you haven't already, join the Insider Club here at Voices of Courage. You'll get exclusive access to some of our after-the-show guests. You'll also get information to take your life and your business to a whole new level. So I hope you'll check us out at voicesofcourage.us. All righty. Well, I'm so blessed today. I'm talking to Brother Tyagananda, and I believe he's blessing all of us through the master that is speaking through the wisdom, through the words today. And let's talk about that saying that Lao Tzu said, when loving someone deeply gives you courage. What did he mean by that, do you think?
Well, as you were saying, when we are able to cultivate a daily spiritual practice through meditation and prayer, the most beautiful result is that we gradually experience that we begin to feel loved. Also, Ken, earlier you were talking about the eyes of the master. That was his main characteristic as a premavatar. This is a Sanskrit Indian word meaning a great master incarnation of divine love. What men and women who were fortunate or blessed to meet the master felt right away was the tremendous unconditional love and divine light flowing out of those beautiful, large, luminous eyes. They felt loved. And as a result, as they say, when we feel loved, then we feel strong within. We find the strength to even change ourselves. And when we daily, as we engage in our spiritual practices, we immerse ourselves into this unconditional love that is always offered to us, where we are, good or bad, from the masters, then we naturally, our souls automatically, naturally, spontaneously want to give the love to others. And that also gives us courage. When, for example, say a father who feels the love from his wife and children, and naturally, spontaneously, he wants to do something for them, even though it may be very, very difficult. And then you see parents having this tremendous courage to change their own lives or to engage into activities that require a lot of strength, the determination, and above all, courage. And so it's so beautiful. Also, the universal prayer that Yogananda left us and encouraged us to repeat every day. Beloved God, O Infinite Father, Divine Mother, may your love shine forever on the sanctuary of my devotion. So that's the first part. When we pray, may I always feel, experience your love. May I always realize that I'm loved no matter what happens. And then the second part of the prayer, and then may I be able to awaken that love in all hearts. This is something that I know many of our students, many men and women all over the world who are following the teachings of Yogananda, they keep saying that they are so inspired by this universal prayer, because it is the formula that it reminds us. First, we feel that love within us. We learn to love God first in the sanctuary meditation. But then it does not end there. Because sometimes, you know, those who become so self-absorbed in their own spiritual practices, sometimes they forget others, they forget the world. With Yogananda, the principle is very clear. Yes, first we get to know our own soul. We connect with the infinite. We learn to feel, experience that love is real. We feel love, and then, very much so, we share that love with others. Where, how? We begin, actually, first with ourselves, loving ourselves. You guys used to say, how can you love others if you don't even love yourself? We're not talking about the narcissistic, selfish self-love. We're saying of just liking ourselves as we are, even though we are a work in progress, even though now many of us, many people are struggling, or them have lost their jobs. Well, even losing a job or having financial failures does not define us. Why? Because as we meditate, we realize, wait a minute, I'm a soul, I'm eternal. I may have less money, less of a lucrative job now, I may be struggling, but still, as a soul, I have the love, I'm loved, and I can make a contribution. So we feel good about ourselves. When we feel good about ourselves, I can love others. I like others as they are, and I'm not trying to change them. Who am I to change them if I'm still in the process of changing myself? But as they say, you know, even in our temples and meditation centers, we have many children, the children of our students, Sunday schools, and we know the only way to help people, children change, is how to love them. When we make them feel that they are loved and accepted as they are, then they change. Isn't it something? And this is the...
I love that. And, you know, I'm thinking of people right now that are losing their jobs or lost their jobs. Maybe they've lost their health. Maybe they've, lost their finances. And, you know, it feels heavy for them right now. And, you know, through my path, I've learned that, of course, that challenges are there for a reason. They're there to help, not crush us. They're there to help strengthen us and help us to understand. But nothing happens, at least in my life, nothing has happened unless I connected deeply with the divine. Because to try to do it my own self-will, me personally, it doesn't work. There's something higher than that works. So that peace and love, how do we love ourselves when we feel like the world is just falling apart?
well, that's a good question. Well, I remember even when my great-grandparents told us, as I was a little boy growing in Europe, they went through World War I, World War II, the Great Depression. And they said, when I would ask them, they would say, yes, it was not easy. There was a lot of suffering. At the same time, they said, we became all very strong. There was no option, right? When there is no other option, so you learn to become stronger, and you learn, and they survived. Hopefully, nothing lasts forever. Think even of Yogananda when he came. He was on the first ship coming from India after the end of World War I in 1920. And then it was in US, and there was the Great Depression. So many people got taking their lives, committing suicides, the stock market crash. And then there was World War II, and then so many problems. And yet, you always see him with a smile, and even being a foreigner in a country where he was also discriminated against, he was able to establish a very successful worldwide society and help thousands and millions of men and women in the world. And it's not being negative, but we have to remind ourselves, as all the great saints and masters of all the great spiritual traditions in the world have taught, that in God's plan, this world, planet Earth, was not created to be a temple of permanent happiness, meaning you and I, all of us can know joy, happiness, we can have a good life, but whoever said it's going to be forever, right? That's delusion. We are deluding ourselves. It's the Hollywood movies, or not even that, telling us that you can be lastingly happy, lastingly healthy, lastingly in love all our human life. It's just not meant to be. Sorry. This is a school. As souls, that's why when you were saying, where do we come from? And we come from the astral worlds, from higher realities, where there we can experience that perfect, complete, freedom from physical suffering, because we are with our spirit body, our true essence, and we come down here on earth for a specific incarnation. Why? To learn lessons. And so Yogananda would say, there'll always be some trouble and turmoil in this world. What are you worried about? As we were saying before, instead of seeing as a crisis, instead of feeling like a victim, well, okay, but what can I do even though this is a crisis? I can learn. I can discipline ourselves. I can learn to meditate. I can read inspiring lives of great men and women who went through tremendous difficulties. You know, I mentioned Gandhi, Martin Luther King, so many men and women who even suffered, but they succeeded and they gave us a beautiful example of a life well lived. So again, my sense is God has a plan. You will see the words of Yogananda in this book, at the Biography of Yogi, toward the end. It says God's plan is for all of us, even here on earth, is rooted in love. And so as a loving father and mother goes to their small children, say, well, now you have to grow up. Now you have to learn to walk on your feet. Now you have to understand. Yes, you play, you enjoy yourself, but life is not just to have fun. We're here to learn. Right then,
we've definitely learned today, brother. And thank you so much for being part of our show today. Unfortunately, I'm out of time. I hope you'll join me again. I hope you'll come back and bring the words of wisdom from Paramahansa Yogananda to my audience one more time. This has been really great. Thank you.
Yes, certainly. And next time we may have also a mini guided meditation in silence. So to give a little sample to your audience of what is like meditation. But for now, as we said earlier, they can find the practical resources on our website, how to meditate and beginner's meditation. But thank you for having us. And it was a pleasure to be in your show, Ken.
So great to have you, brother. Well, listen, all of my fans out there, everybody that's following us today, I hope you'll pass this show on to family, friends, and people that really you care about, and you know, teach them, give them the guidance that the brother has given us today to help them to change their lives and take their lives to a new level. And I'd also like to thank my sound engineer today, Jim Case. Thank you so much for helping us here, the sound and video. Appreciate that, James. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and even give a shout out to Amy and Lauren at the Self-Realization Fellowship. Thank you so much for getting brother on the show. That was really special for us today. If you'd like to see our replays, go to voicesofcourage.us. And if you'd like to write me or you have any comments about the show, you can write us at viewer@voicesofcourage.us, voicesofcourage.us. Take care. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.